You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 156 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Sunday, June 3rd, 2018, and I've got a couple folks with me. One of them you will recognize, and another is new. Ray is out. He's pretty sick this week, and he even had to miss DreamHack Austin. So let's wish him a speedy recovery, and hope we see him back next week. But we do have someone who's been missing for the last couple weeks. Good old Danny Donuts over there. How's it going, man?
Good. I'm back.
You are. Missed a couple weeks. Missed you. Couldn't talk about Wild.
Yeah, I know. It's just good that now we can go and get the splash of Wild back on the map. I'm pretty excited to talk about it. And we have some stuff to talk about for Wild, which will be pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, definitely. Excited. Definitely. And a new host, a co-host, guest host that we have this week. If you listen to the Hearth Casual podcast, you'll recognize him. Hey, it's Brian Black, a.k.a. Roe. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's quite an honor. I've been listening to Well Met for many, many, many moons. So it's I'm geeking out a little bit being here. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we've been around the block for a while, that's for sure.
Indeed.
So, but no, I want to say something, Ro. I am glad that you came on, because I believe this is the first time on the show that we have had someone on that's older than I am.
Well, I'm glad I could do some service in that way. But yeah, I'm a little bit older in years than you. I mean, I remember
not
playing
much.
Space
not
Invaders
much.
And Pac-Man and all that stuff, but
not much. I think you're only like 2 or 3 years older than I am. So
yeah,
but no. But hey, Ro. So just so the people know, like, can you talk a little bit about Hearth Casual and your podcast and things like that?
Sure. So I've been podcasting for a good 6 years now. Hearth Casual is a relatively new show. My main loves for gaming have been primarily World of Warcraft for quite a long time, and I'm one of those people that you can definitely call a Blizzard fanboy. I created a podcast that talks about all the other podcasts that are covering all Blizzard games called Realm Maintenance.
I've listened to that one many times.
Yep. And a few months back, I was finding myself in a place where I realized I've been playing a lot more Hearthstone than World of Warcraft, not because WoW is necessarily in a bad place right now, but WoW's kind of in that state where it's between expansions. And as the cycle usually goes, I tend to find myself playing more Hearthstone than WoW during this period of time. And I was getting the itch to actually want to talk about Hearthstone on a podcast more than I have been. So I figured, why not? Let's just do it. Let's just start up a Hearthstone podcast. And my co-host Kevin Ellis and I, we every other week talk about a number of things in Hearthstone, not as much dealing with ranked ladder play, but we will talk about Arena, Tavern Brawls, of course, the Dungeon Run and Monster Hunt content that's been out recently, going for things that are important and fun and maybe not necessarily top meta stuff going on, but we just enjoy talking about the game and having fun with the game and playing the decks that are out there and trying to figure out ways to just keep the fun in the game. So that's really what Hearth Casual is all about, and I've had a blast doing it. It's been great.
Yeah, I think podcasts like that are very important. Like, we kind of get into the details on, you know, the pro scene and you know, trying to hit legend and all that, but what really comes down to it is Hearthstone is really just a fun game in general that you do need, like, there's always going to be new people coming to the game that you do need content like that out there. And knowing both you and Kevin for a long time now, because I've done some work with Kevin because he lives here in Kansas City, I just knowing you two guys, I know that that's a great podcast over there. People should definitely check out.
Yeah, and I would say even though we're called Hearth Casual, I mean, both Kevin and I have a fair bit of experience in the game. Kevin hits Dad Legend fairly often. Myself, while I have not yet hit Dad Legend once, I will play ranked every once in a while. But when it comes to like what I'm into, when it comes to Hearthstone, I'll go for the fun stuff. I'll go for the memes. I dabble in both Wild and Standard. I watch Hearthstone esports. So you could kind of say when it comes to like my general knowledge of the game, I'm a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. So Danny, it's like we said, it's been a couple weeks. What have you been up to lately?
So I've been actually doing a lot of setting up for like tournaments and other things like that in the past. I missed last week because of the holiday, but one of the things I want to talk about is the Battle of the Discords, which is a tournament that I'm helping co-sponsor. So there's 13 different Discords, and like you have the normal like Hearthstone Discord, competitive Hearthstone Discord, and I'm the representative from the Wild Hearthstone Discord, and we're all throwing a tournament to see which Discord has the player that can win the whole thing. So that's what I've been helping out with some of that, which is pretty neat. Doing some other stuff behind the scenes. I was on an episode of Into the Wild in the past week. Craig and Nate had me on their podcast, and that was a fun one too. Besides that, I've been just experimenting around since the nerfs hit, and I've been playing ridiculous decks. So
yeah, you missed the show when the nerfs went live. How's Wild been since those have taken place?
Wild is actually really nice now. You don't have to run like a board clear in every single deck to deal with Naga. So now that Naga is dead, the meta opens up so much, and like there's so much room for experimentation, which is like great. And there hasn't been any like major meta snapshot come out from either Tempo Storm, Vicious Syndicate. So the meta is very, I don't want to say unrefined, but you aren't running into the same net decks over and over. There's a lot of experimentation. It's kind of like the Wild West right now, which is one of my favorite things about Wild. It's always good when the meta starts settling up and you can start playing around like exact 28 to 30 card lists. But then and again, when you have someone sprinkle in like a Skulking Geist into a deck and you didn't expect it, like that type of stuff really makes games really fun.
Are you starting to see more people start picking up Wild since the nerfs happened, or is it about the same? Or what does it feel
so,
like?
I think we had one of the higher amount of players at the end of last season. I finished like 500 Legends, and I know there were people who are around 900 on NA, which is really high for Wild. Normally we end up with 500 Legend players. So there was a lot of people, I would say. Maybe that's just because of the season. People went to Wild when Standard was really dull during that period. But I would say that Wild definitely has a resurgence, and people are definitely playing the format.
Yeah, awesome. Now it sounds like something I need to pick up, because right now, like this, even after the nerfs, like I was talking to you guys about this before the show, both of you. I just don't care for the meta right now. I can't find a deck that I enjoy playing. And I don't know what it is. I thought it would be better after getting tired of Q-Block, but for me it's just, I don't know. I need something to shake things up, I think. But
so what is it for you? What do you dislike the most about the meta?
It feels like, so like one of the things that someone had told me is they're like this is a rock paper scissors meta. And they said that with pride, like it was something that to aim for. And to me, rock, paper, scissors is not a good meta, because rock always beats scissors. Paper always beats rock. Knowing that if I queue up with this deck and I have no chance of winning, what's the point? Like, I feel like there's nothing I can do to win that game. It just feels that way. And I haven't found that deck that really plays against like all the other decks very well. That, and it's just missing, we talked about this on last week's show, it's just missing a good solid aggro deck to kind of keep things in check right now. Like, there's no decent aggro in the meta.
Yeah, it's one of the few times that I feel like the game has really slowed down to a point where control seems to be where it's at. And for a great majority of Hearthstone's life, it's been primarily about aggro and getting quick wins and getting up the ladder and ranking up as quick as possible with whatever the most efficient deck is. And you can't exactly do that as easily as you used to anymore. Myself, I have found when it comes to the current meta, I'm enjoying playing even Shaman, and I think that's primarily because Shaman has been so absent from the meta for so long, you know, ever since the glory days of the Trogs and all that stuff getting nerfed, and of course 3-4 totems are no longer a thing, but even Shaman just somehow seems to find a way, and I haven't run into too many matchups myself against Token Druid, which may be why I'm not as frustrated as you are, but I'm having a lot of fun with Even Shaman.
Yeah, I see, and it's not so much Token Druid itself. The only reason I'm upset with Token Druid is I can't win with the deck and everybody else can. that's my issue with it is it's a deck that doesn't fit my playstyle very well. Mm-hmm. It's also a deck that a lot of these decks don't feel like they're interactive in a way. It feels like you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing. And if you get your thing out faster than my thing, you're going to win. And
Quest Priest really has a problem with that too.
Yeah. It's hard to explain why I think a lot of it just came down to, I don't think Witchwood was a very good expansion. If you talk about power, from what we had last year to this, it's kind of a letdown. But I can see why they did that, because the game was getting up there in power from expansion to expansion.
One of the things is that it just goes, and you lost so many expansions. We're down at the minimum amount of cards that we'll have in a cycle for standard. So I feel that when you get down to a meta like that, and it's not an aggro meta, where it's like aggro decks don't really have a place and there's more control combo, you run into an issue where it's like people start being really, really greedy, and then game plans just go, and it's not as board centric, which is one of the benefits that Hearthstone has as a game, being board centric and like being able to make trades and knowing that, like, Pirate Warrior of old, when you had like ship's cannon, I mean, maybe that was just for wild, but that was one of the, it was like a aggro deck that you'd go through, and like your decisions were very dependent on if you won or lost the game. So like even swinging your 1-3 hook early on turn one can win or lose you the game. So like that level of determination of, oh, I made a little misplay here, it might actually impact my game, doesn't really seem to culminate nowadays. It seems right. Like, oh, I made a little mistake here, but ultimately it doesn't matter because I have a 90% win rate against whatever deck I'm playing against.
Exactly. And I think that's my issue right now. And it's going to be, I've said this the last couple of shows, it's going to be a long 3 months.
Yeah, I would just generally say, though, when you mentioned that Witchwood seems like a weak expansion, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, but I would tend to think that that's somewhat intentional design. When it comes to the first expansion of the year, since it's going to be around technically the longest, you take a look at N'Goro, and I would say N'Goro was a stronger set than Witchwood, but I wouldn't say it was as crazy bananas in power level as, say, Kobolds and Catacombs.
I 100% agree with that, actually, and I think it was pretty intentional as well, and that's part of the reason why, like, I'm not, like, tapped out completely with Hearthstone, because I know the next expansion coming up will probably change things to a degree that I kind of like the game at least I hope so, but I need to jump over and start listening to you guys talk about Monster Hunts, because for some reason, and I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on this. For some reason, Monster Hunt didn't feel as good as Dungeon Run. And
yeah, it's an interesting sentiment that a lot of people have had in reaction to Dungeon Run. And I think part of it has to do with that Monster Hunts felt too similar to Dungeon Run. Now, of course, you have different heroes and you have different hero powers, and they threw in some treasures to kind of build on those hero powers. But really, at its core and the primary concept of Monster Hunt, it really was Dungeon Run 2.0. And while the whole Dungeon Run system is nice and interesting and a good twist, my personal opinion is Monster Hunt is fun, but I think revamping Dungeon Run right after we had Dungeon Runs, it was probably a little bit too soon. I feel like it would have been better if they had shelved the idea for one or two expansions. There would have been people that would have complained about saying, oh, when's Dungeon Run going to come back? But then they'd be pleasantly surprised when, you know, Monster Hunt would come an expansion later. I get the feeling, I just have a feeling, especially based on what I've seen as far as community response to Monster Hunt, that we won't have single-player content quite like this in the next expansion. And that's not to say Monster Hunt was awful. I think people just wanted something. Dungeon Run was so dynamic and so different. People were expecting something really different from Dungeon Run this time around. And when that didn't happen, a lot of people just went, oh, huh. I mean, I haven't even finished all the Monster Hunts yet. I still have one run to finish before I can take on the final challenge. So in Dungeon Runs, I completed that stuff within a month of it being out.
Yeah, I completed it pretty early on. I think the problem that I had is there wasn't a lot of replayability. Even after I beat Dungeon Runs, I still played it quite a bit. And just because I thought it was a good mode, and there's a lot of different things that you can do. Yeah. In Monster Hunt, it felt very limited, because you only had the four classes. Linear. Yeah, and it felt like you were playing the same thing over and over again, and it just didn't have the same amount of content.
I think that's part of the price they paid for giving flavors to the classes and the characters. By doing that, they kind of also better defined what kind of classes they were, what kind of cards they use, and they went so strong on the hero power stuff that it does feel like each class, not only do you have half the classes to work with, but each one feels like it's a bit more limited, like there's not as much variety and ways to go with things. I don't think that's actually the truth, but I think that's the feeling you get when you play it. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that there's just four characters to begin with. It's one of those kind of illusion things where I don't think necessarily that the data proves that there's less to do. It just feels that way.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about this week. There's actually a decent amount of news. So why don't we hop on over to that real quick?
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
First of all, we'd like to thank our well-met legends, Otaku MZ and Shaf. They're our patrons this week, or this month of June. And if you'd like to be a well-met legend, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. The first thing this week that we wanted to talk about just real briefly is the HCT Summer Championship schedule has been announced, and tickets are on sale. So here at the end of the month, June 28th through July 1st over in Los Angeles at the Blizzard Arena is where that will take place. So if you want to go watch the host that we had a couple weeks ago with Killin' All Day and maybe see him take away the prize, that's where you would watch it. If you're in the Los Angeles area, you might want to go over there and get those tickets. I've heard that's a pretty fun arena.
Yeah, I mean, might as well make use of the arena that they've been making heavy use of it for, of course, Overwatch, and they had Heroes of the Dorm and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to see how they convert it and set up for Hearthstone and stuff. I imagine they'll give it the look and the atmosphere very similar to how they had the Hearthstone set up at BlizzCon.
Have you ever been out there?
Bring in the tavern.
Yeah, bring in the tavern. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been out there yet, Ro?
No, I haven't. I'm hoping that this year when I do my BlizzCon trip that I will have the opportunity to get there a bit early and attend the opening week stuff over that's happening at the arena. Not 100% certain I'm going to be able to do that yet, but I'd like to.
Yeah, that's something I'm looking at as well as a possibility. I would like to get out there for it. Anyway, the big thing, not really the big thing, but one of the other things that happened this week is we had our first tournament that has come out with the post-nerf decks that got the deck lists were submitted after the post-nerf had happened. So players actually had time to play with these decks, whereas the tournament we had last week, they had to submit those deck lists before the nerfs went live. Mm-hmm. And we had, there's some spoilers coming up, so if you don't want to listen to that, beware. But Amnesiac and Azalea faced off in the finals, with Amnesiac winning 3-1. And if you look at the deck lists, there's not a lot of variety there. There's a lot of Q-Block, a lot of Token Druid, and a lot of Miracle Rogue. Those seem to be the real popular tournament decks.
I will say that I got a chance to watch these grand finals, which concluded a little bit before we recorded the show, and I now realize why I don't watch as much Hearthstone esports lately, simply because a Druid versus Druid matchup. If ever there was a time for the resident sleeper emote on Twitch, that is the time.
It's funny how it's gone from Control Warrior being the slow matchup, and now it's just Druid.
Yeah.
That almost reminds me of the days of the Freeze Mage mirror mm-hmm. match.
That's true. It feels very similar as far as the length. I think that game felt like it took an hour. It really did.
Yeah,
I didn't have a chance to watch any of it. I was rooting and hoping that Ray would win, but of course he wasn't able to even get a go. So, which is a bummer.
Yeah. Dr. J got to cast, though. This is a little note that Noxious wasn't able to make it. So Dr. J got off the plane and they're like, hey, do you want to cast? And he was ready to play in the tournament, and they're like, yeah, do you want to cast? So he jumped onto the casting bandwagon.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that? Did he do a pretty good job? Or he was on the show a few weeks ago. So
I caught a bit of it, but I really didn't watch too much of it. But I did get to see him cast one game, so he did a pretty good job.
Nice. I thought he did fine. I'd say he definitely, for casting, he, you know, brought a fair bit of energy to the thing. Him and Admirable had a good synergy with each other. They brought some of the laughs around. So yeah, I think he'll do well.
Nice. Yeah, he seems like a pretty good guy and a pretty good talker. So I'm not surprised that he did pretty good.
Pretty good.
The next thing is Hearthstone team competition teams announced. Hearthstone team competition teams. That's a weird sentence. But anyway,
say that five times fast.
Right. But anyway, they announced this back in December that this would get started in season 2 of this year. Season 2 has begun. Basically what this is there's these teams that are able to pick 3 people to represent their teams, and based on how those 3 people do in the ladder against other teams, not like versus, but as far as like points wise overall, the top, you know, X amount of teams get a certain amount of money. So what do you guys think of this? Because I know there's a lot of people that were kind of surprised by this, even though they made an announcement like 6 months ago, but people forgot.
I'm surprised that there's 50 teams listed here, and I'm not exaggerating. There's literally 50 teams. That's quite a few teams.
And there's some that are missing.
Do we know if there was a cutoff? Was it like that only the first 50 teams to sign up get it, or?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I know that there's some organizations that have multiple teams in that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that too. There's a couple who do that.
I do.
Team 1 and Team 2. Yeah,
I did see that Cloud9 is not on the list, which I was surprised by. But they only had 2 players, I guess, instead of 3. They couldn't get a 3rd player.
Oh man, yeah. Space Station Gaming's not on here either, because they just dropped their Hearthstone players, and Ant's their only Hearthstone player now. So
I imagine you guys will be rooting for Panda Global.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a pretty good team. You have Ray, Hotmouth, and Corextron. So 3 really good players. So they're gonna put some effort in, and probably be. I think they're definitely top 10, maybe.
Yeah, but the way.
But I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I was going to say the way that this works is I think it's at least in the top 10 get money, and those teams get money based on how their players do. And I think the most important thing about this is it's something that Blizzard is doing that is supporting teams in Hearthstone, because that's something that you don't see in the game because it's a very single player oriented game. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's teams that are dropping players because they don't get this kind of support. They don't make the money, so they can't keep paying these players to send them out to tournaments.
Yeah, I feel like this is an interesting sentiment from Blizzard to try to push the whole concept of like team versus team competition and all that stuff. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I feel like because Hearthstone at its core is, you know, an individual kind of thing, you know, player versus player and stuff. It would be great if all these players had, you know, team jerseys and stuff like that. I feel like in order for the whole team sentiment to really thrive and grow, they kind of have to really push and promote that kind of team image and stuff like that. And while you're going to see that from some of the better known teams, I mean, Tempo Storm, of course, they got their nice jackets and all that stuff. And a few of these other teams are going to deck out players, I'm sure, in team attire and stuff. I can't imagine all 50 teams on this list are going to be following that.
Well, one of the things that they are doing,
the majority do.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, I would guess that the majority of the teams do that, because I mean, the team, you kind of represent your team when you're going into it. And once you sign with the team, and you'll know a little about this from Ray, but like, I don't know. I think the team branding typically is going to want to have you have a jersey. So I don't know. I think that most of them will have like jerseys and other stuff. Maybe some will go above and beyond, but like, even for some of the I don't want to say no name teams, but the smaller teams, they're going to definitely try to push their brand out and become the new esports team.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of names here that I'm unfamiliar with. I probably recognize maybe a third of these teams.
Yeah, I didn't recognize most of them myself. But one of the things that they are doing with this, though, is anytime these players are like playing in HCT and are being streamed, they're going to show these team logos up on the stream and maybe even talk about the teams a little bit. So they are getting a little of exposure that way on stream. So if they don't have their, you know, team jerseys or whatever, they, you know, that's something that helps it, at least something that gets some team semblance out there.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
But the big news of this week is for the arena players out there. We had a blog post by, I can never pronounce his last name, Chris Zeihart. Is that how you pronounce it? He was over on the WoW team for a while.
I want to say it's Zirat.
Zirat.
At least that's how
right.
I've been pronouncing yeah, it, Chris and Zirat. Like hardly pronouncing the H. But we're probably all wrong.
Probably. but he's been working on some arena stuff, and he kind of talks about some insight on how arena currently works and the direction that they're going and that they're going to add to it. And all of it to me, and I'm a programmer, and all of it to me was kind of confusing, to be honest. there's a lot of stuff here. The only thing that like comes to my mind whenever I see this is I just think about all these buckets, because that's what they talk about. They talk about these buckets. So I'm thinking of these physical buckets that they're throwing cards in. But do either one of you want to try to explain this a little bit?
Go ahead. You can.
Okay. Well, as far as arena goes, so not too long ago in patch 10.4, they made this change to the whole arena system where, of course, the cards are being available to you. They're no longer caring about rarity. They're caring more about the power level of the card. And not only that, but as the article describes, they also check to see, like, how successful it is, how likely you are to win a game picking this card, so on and so forth.
And also, like, how often, like, that card's getting picked over other cards, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And so for each class, they have 7 buckets in as far as like you have your top tier cards. Like if you're playing Paladin, you're going to find your Spike Ridge Steed, your Vine Cleavers and stuff like that in the tier 1 bucket. And you're going to find about half of the cards in standard in the 7th bucket because they're pretty garbage. And from there, the weight of all the cards in the bucket, so like each card has its own weight and value and stuff like that, but the weight of the cards in the bucket also kind of influence how often you're going to see any given bucket appear, which is why the way they have it set up, you're more likely to see lower buckets than you are to see that top tier bucket pop up all the time. And then legendary cards have their own set of buckets. Legendary cards have 3 buckets set for them, at least right now. With the changes that are coming up, one of the biggest changes that they're going to be making to Arena is, so say you have buckets 1 through 7, now they're going to have buckets in between those 7 buckets where they're taking the bottom half of cards from one bucket, from like bucket 1, and then the top cards from bucket 2, and making that basically your bucket 1.5. And essentially what that's going to do is kind of smoothen out the whole bucket experience, so it doesn't feel like the buckets aren't as big a deal. But one thing it does do is with the highest cards in the game, like the top half of the cards in the first bucket and the bottom half of the cards in the worst bucket, since they'll only appear in one bucket now, while all the other cards can show up in one of 2 buckets, that means that the best cards in Arena and the worst cards in Arena are going to be showing up about half as often. That's the biggest takeaway from these changes.
Yeah, so they're increasing buckets so that when there's these big floods, you've got these buckets to get the water out. And
exactly.
There's a lot of bucket talk there.
As someone who enjoys Arena and plays it, you know, fairly casually, I'm not someone who has like an average of 7 wins or something like that. I average about 4 wins, 5 wins in Arena. I like these changes. I'm not someone who really looks up spreadsheets like a lot of the elite Hearthstone Arena players do and look at the bucket lists and see, okay, what does this card mean as far as like what other cards are in the bucket and all that stuff. When I play Arena, I'm just looking to pick cards that feel like they are solid for my deck, have good synergy, try to work the curve and such like that. And I just try to build an all-around good deck. And for people that play at my level, I don't think they're going to notice much change when these changes go in. But I feel like for the elitists that play Arena, for the ones that are, you know, getting your 9+ wins with a far better frequency, the ones that are appearing in the top 100 for the month, this is going to be a bit more of a challenge for them, because this bucketing system, by having these cards now show up in 2 buckets, it's actually going to make it a bit more difficult for them to break down the data of how often are these cards appearing, what buckets they're in, so on and so forth. It actually makes the data analysis of it a lot more complicated. And that was based on some comments that Taro, one of the top people in Arena who made this big spreadsheet about the buckets, had mentioned when after reading the post for this.
One thing that's really interesting about that is they actually, I think this is the first time Blizzard mentioned these buckets. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
No, they're being more transparent than they've ever been.
So, but the funny thing is the Arena community had already figured out that this bucket system had been put into place. And before this, they had been going, like I went through maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was looking at Arena just to, because I was curious. And like, there were some spreadsheets that they put together where they figured out what these buckets were without Blizzard telling them what's going on. So I think that this transparency actually, even though it does make it slightly more confusing with the overlapping buckets, I think that this is going to help out, because now you can go in and say you can do your data collection and know, okay, this is going, what it's going to look like in the end. And then all the top players can be like, all right, these cards are in the top bucket. I can play around them a little bit less now. And then like all that stuff going to play in, oh, this is in bucket 1.5. So it's going to be more often than not. I'm going to try to play around that. So I think that this actually helps. Like, this transparency is really good for the arena players at that elite level who are really looking for that.
Yeah, I feel like one thing that this is going to do, though, is it's going to make these players want even more transparency. And I don't necessarily blame them. One of the comments that's been made from some of these players is, okay, if you're willing to finally come out and be this transparent about the bucket process, why not just put up a document that says, from your guys, straight from Blizzard, what cards are in which bucket, and just make that available for everyone to go to, rather than having people try to guess and figure it out through thousands of matches analysis.
Well, I think that would be nice, but I mean, I think baby steps is the way to go, especially because they do make micro adjustments. And people, if you listen to Crip or any other people just talk about Arena for a while, they'll tell you that the meta has shifted at some point, and like they can get a feeling of it. And obviously it's all anecdotal, but I would believe that Blizzard behind the scenes has some very enthusiastic people about the algorithms doing this stuff for Arena. And like the little micro adjustments that they're doing between cards, like, might be done without people knowing. And then that's a big thing. As soon as you make them public, then it transforms the way that the game's played to, you have the spreadsheet open the whole time instead of just like playing the game as is. But I definitely think that at some point, maybe we can get to that point, but I'm just happy that Blizzard's being more transparent, because I mean, we still don't have something in ranked to know your legend Elo and how that works.
All right.
So there's so much more where transparency would be better just in general, that might be a little bit nitpicking.
See, I want to toss out a really quick question here, and I'm going to, maybe this is conspiracy theory by me going on here, but do we feel that this kind of transparency would have still happened in an era where Ben Brode was still the game director for Hearthstone?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I think it takes a lot to release this, right? This is probably being planned on being told to everyone for a couple months now. They're like, okay, we can finally push it out. Because someone has to do the write-up for this. Someone needs to go and like make sure that all this is done. I would bet that Ben Brode was still game designer when the initial concept to tell everyone about this was created.
Now, I'll say, if you had asked if this would have happened if Eric Dodds was still game director, I would have said no. I think there is a difference there between those two. And ever since Dodds went out of game director and Brode came in, we started seeing more of this transparency. I still don't think we're seeing enough. I'm hoping that we continue to see some of this increase, because now it becomes this thing where if I want to play Arena, like as a player, I'm going to have to go out and feel like I need to go and find those spreadsheets with these bucket tiers. And have those available to, you know, draft and things like that. Whereas if Blizzard is a little more transparent about this, maybe they could make this a tool that those players that aren't that don't know about this would be able to know about it and use it and have a more kind of fair playground there.
Go ahead, Danny.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I was going to say, would you be for or against them actually, like during your arena draft process, would you be for them saying what bucket you're being offered, like as part of the UI?
I think that's just negative at some point. You're like, oh man, I mean, a lot of the times that'll just directly make people be like, oh, I got a crappy draft. Whereas like now you don't really know which buckets you got unless you're specifically being like persistent enough to look through that. And I feel that most of the time for the average player playing Arena, they like, I don't go and look this up. I might go like look at a tier list, but I'm not going to go dive deep into it's this bucket or this bucket. I mean, not that I don't care, but I'm just trying to get the arena experience. And I feel that if I got a bunch of things where it's like I roll a crappy draft, I'm going to be more pissed off if they're telling me about it. I'd rather be, I don't know, ignorance is bliss in that sense, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see that in the UI either. I think that would be going a little too far as well. But just letting players know about this kind of stuff within the game itself would be helpful. Not necessarily telling them exactly what bucket, but maybe a way for them to be able to go investigate this information more. That, you know, hey, this is out here. Things like that. I would, and this would also be a good case for some kind of an Hearthstone API that will never exist in the lifetime of ever. So
it exists in China.
Other than in China. Yeah.
So I think that it existing in China gives us at least a little bit of hope because, I mean, hey, we said, hey, we want tournament mode, and that's what they focused on. No one spoke about the API until very far into the complaining for tournament mode. So once tournament mode comes out in by the end of this year or whatever, then we can start complaining about the API, and maybe we'll get that in about 2 or 3 years.
Man, I just don't have a whole lot of hope about tournament mode, though. It's going to be, after reading how it's going to be this bare bones experience, and they're completely ignoring things that people are already wanting, saying, no, we're going to wait until people tell us what they want. It's like, people are telling you what you want. They want right now. Just do that, please. And they still haven't fixed spectator mode. Anyway.
Yeah, well, especially if you're playing as a druid, man. There are bugs in the current game, especially in Wild. You see this if you're playing as a druid and you togwoggle, and for whatever reason your opponent gets Malfurion, their select two cards, one of the cards will stay up on the screen the entire time. So, like, there were certain parts in the game where I have to memorize, like, what a minion is because it's going to go hide behind the card that's still up there. Oh, so, man. Yeah, it gets annoying where it's like some of the UI stuff, I would assume that takes priority, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, the actual should. Functionality of their game is kind of screwed up. So,
well, it's like one of the things I saw on Reddit recently was people complaining about the bug where you still see new cards even though they're not new. And that bug's been around forever, like for a long time. And and people are complaining how that's not getting fixed, you know, ever. And but there's been some good explanations on why. It has something to do with server performance and some weird stuff like that, to be honest. That it's probably one of those bugs that's like, oh, if we fix it, it's actually going to make things worse. So.
Yeah. And that's not too big of a nuisance. I mean, I know it's annoying. You have to go in and mouse over your cards. But I think that, like, Blizzard's priorities should be things that directly operate in the game.
Yep.
And then new features for the game. Something that's a tiny inconvenience shouldn't really be too high on their priority list, I don't think.
I agree.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yep. But anyway, let's move out of Arena and hop over to some ranked play. BlizzPro put out their ladder optimizer, put together by he's our One Might legend, Otaku MZ and Mac Daddy Guns. I love that name, by the way. Mac Daddy Guns is such an awesome name. They put out the BlizzPro ladder optimizer number 23. And we have the top effective laddering decks, the top effective win rates, and the top decks played encounters. The big thing that we see here is at all ranks, if you're wanting the most effective laddering measured in net gain of stars per hour, which is equal to meta wins per hour minus meta losses per hour. For all ranks, you want to go Odd Paladin, Token Druid, or Even Warlock. Odd Paladin is a big one at 0.79, whereas Even Warlock's down at 0.49. If you're looking from rank 5 to Legend, it looks like Token Druid is actually the better play. Same three decks, just a little bit of a different order. Is this primarily what you guys are seeing here?
Again, from my experience, just from my short time, and I did this to just finish off the month of May, you know, as somewhat respectable place on the ladder. I went all the way from 25 to 14 in the last few days of the month playing Even Shaman. And I stayed on a win streak and there was no stopping me. So I don't know. It's interesting that I don't find Even Shaman on here, although Even Shaman has been countering decks, right. But it's
Even
not
Shaman's number
high.
Four. I
Even
think.
Shaman is actually number four. Yep.
Yeah, it's number four on this list.
I see.
Even Shaman, we had Even Shaman be, it's just good in Wild because of some of the two drops and four drops that we have. So like before the nerfs, it was a fairly good deck, and it might even be the top deck in Wild at the moment. But this seems very similar to what I would expect. I'm interested at the Odd Paladin being so high up, and then you lose the Murloc Paladin. I would think that, because Murloc Paladin was very, very good, and the only thing that really affected that is Call to Arms being bumped up by a mana. I thought that would stick around a little bit more, but it seems that Odd Paladin has just shot up. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise to me that deck actually has been that good, because I didn't think, when the nerfs were announced, I didn't think Odd Paladin would be that great. But here it is at like the top, right? But to your point though, Ro, on Even Shaman, like they have this, optimizer, they have this nice little graph here. And if you go and look at that graph, all ranks win rate, Even Shaman is actually quite a bit up there. It's like number four for all ranks. But if you look, and probably the reason why you don't hear people talk about it, or why it's not like a top tier deck, is if you look at the rank five to legend win rate, it's a lot lower. So it's one of those decks that seems like it's playing very well, between rank 20 and rank 5. So if you're in between those, it sounds like you're going to get a lot of success with that deck. Whereas if you're hitting rank 5 or above, your win rate's going to drop tremendously.
And that's interesting though, and that does not surprise me at all. And considering, like I said, I've never hit even Dad Legend rank yet, I can see how my mileage would vary.
Yeah. But the other deck that I was surprised to see on here was the fifth one. That's Quest Warrior, good old Taunt Warrior. That's actually seen better win rates from rank 5 to legend than at all ranks, and that seems to be an up and coming deck that a lot of people are having success with. Have you played any of these? Have you played Quest Warrior yet, either of you?
I have not.
I played it in Wild.
Yeah,
but not this variant of the deck.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Whenever I run against it, it usually beats me unless I'm playing like Big Mage, and Big Mage kind of seems to do pretty well against it. But I can see where if you have a meta that's controlled by Token, Druid, Odd Paladin, Even Warlock, and Even Shaman, where Quest Warrior will be pretty successful. So those are the decks that you want to look for if you're laddering this month or this week. But Tempo Storm had put out their... And the thing about BlizzPro Ladder Optimizer is they're pulling these sources from all of these... it's sort of like the Hearthstone meta list. Because they're pulling from all these other meta reports, and that's how they're getting their information. But the Tempo Storm one this week I thought was interesting because it didn't really seem to agree with everybody else. Mainly because they had their tier one decks. Well, the one thing they were correct on with everybody else is they had Token Druid up at number one. But then if you look after that, it's Q-Block, Control Warlock, Miracle Rogue, and Shudderwalk Shaman to
That's
round
surprising.
Out the tier one decks. And I just feel like this is off.
I haven't seen a combo Shudderwalk Shaman deck like in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously played in the tournament.
There was experimentation from players, especially getting ready for DreamHack Austin. A lot of the top players were testing it out on ladder, and it has some good matchups against a lot of these slower decks. It'll just win the game. But I don't know, against Token Druid, it's not particularly good. So I can see how it's, I mean, I definitely think it's, it might be a little bit high. They put it on the low end of tier one, but I don't know. I think it's still around the, it's still in the upper vicinity of tier two, I think.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I don't agree with the tier one there, but the other thing that surprised me was seeing Odd Pound and Clear at the bottom of tier two. Whereas, you know, with the other list, we were seeing that as like the number one, number two deck.
That is something, though, that you start to see. I mean, I've done a lot of these meta reports. I'm for both Tempo Storm, Vicious Syndicate. And a lot of the times, just in general, Tempo Storm meta snapshots tend to play down decks that have fewer decisions than other ones. So, like, token-based decks are typically, just generally, I feel that those, like Odd Paladin, more or less, is given a little bit lesser of a favor than decks that have a lot of decision-making behind it. Just the theory that, that a player who plays these decks optimally will have a better result with it. So I can totally understand why that is. I don't have a firm enough grasp on the standard meta to really comment on that. Obviously, it's much lower than what is in the Blizzard Optimizer. I mean, the BlizzPro Optimizer. But I can understand the reasoning behind why it's lower.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it was just, I just thought it was interesting that just there's a lot of decks that I don't necessarily 100% agree with just because of what I've been seeing on ladder. And I was kind of surprised to see Q-Block at number two, even though Q-Block is still a pretty good deck. I'm not sure if it's number two worthy above Control Warlock or even above Even Warlock. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be the effect of nerfs that always happens is as soon as a card is nerfed, decks that contain that card typically disappear from the meta for a while just because you have a good handful of the player base that just disenchants all the cards automatically because they want to get their dust out of it. And then over time, they start going in and redusting those cards. So I don't know. Dark Pact really doesn't seem like a card that people would dust too much. And Lackey, I don't know. Lackey being a mana more is definitely impactful on the deck. But I can understand that maybe we don't understand the full power level of the deck just because we haven't really seen it up against this current field.
Yeah. Hmm. So, Danny, what about Wild? Like, I know that there's not a meta snapshot for Wild right now. You said that earlier. But if you were to pick a tier one deck that people need to play in Wild right now get high up on the ladder on Wild, what would you pick?
So right now, I would say the best deck is probably Even Shaman. 4 mana 7/7s and Totem Golems just make the deck really, really strong. And then you have the there's a 4 mana card. I don't remember its name. It might be Totem Carver. It just gets +1/+1 for every totem that you have on the board. Yep. And that card's been making some success. I actually retweeted out someone hit Legend. What is it? Today is the third. They hit it on day one into day two with Even Shaman. So that list is definitely very, very strong. Otherwise, I currently like any type of druid that is like a slow druid. And Token Druid's not that strong in Wild just because you have better options. So at the moment, Togwaggle Druid is good, but I've been finding that Jade Druids actually started to come back up again. And I really like having Jade Druid because it wins the mirror match against Togwaggle. All you need to do is keep one of your Jade Idols in your hand. And then obviously you're getting your Jades built up throughout the matchup. But when they go in and they trade decks with you, right? They're typically down to 2 or 3 cards. You maybe have about 10 left. So then they have 10 cards in their deck and you have 2, and then you can just make your Jades go off really, really quickly. You can just cycle through with your Jade Idols. So I find that just because it has an edge up on the mirror, that Jade Druid is very, in a very good spot, because controlling Druid decks just have so much flexibility. And that's one of the things in Standard. You see people like running these mid-range decks for Druid that are running Cairn and even some of the Charge Devil Sore lists just because there's no finisher in Druid. And I mean, we have all the finishers in Wild. You have Malagos, you have Togwaggle, and you have Jade Druid. So I think that having a finisher for the deck just pushes it miles above what it is in Standard.
Interesting. You know, it's sad that I think I miss the Jade Druid meta right now. I would almost rather have that back than our current situation, to be honest.
You can always go back to Wild.
I could. What what have you been playing? Like, what if you said you were playing some Wild and you're playing some Standard as well? So, so out of these decks, like, what are you playing?
When it comes to Wild, there's generally two kinds of decks that I play, and they both do all right, but they're definitely not top tier. One is the one may be top tier, but one is a Jade Death Rattle Rogue deck. That's what I play the most of. The second one is a quest mage, but it's kind of a gimmicky quest mage because it doesn't go for the Exodia kill. It goes for killing people with Voltron.
Oh, that's fun. That's a really fun
so
deck.
Basically, it's a quest mage deck, but you throw in a couple of mechanical yetis, a couple of clockwork gnomes because they give you spare parts, and those are spells that haven't appeared in your deck. And the deck is pretty similar to Quest Mage outside of that, but you've got those things in there, and the object is to basically have a couple Molten Reflections in your hand. Once you have Time Warp, you Time Warp and drop down Mimron's head in the same turn. Then on your bonus turn, you have the Molten Reflections going off also. Once Voltron's formed up, provide you have the Iron Mechs down. It's fun. That's basically what it all comes down to. It's fun, it's kind of meme-ish, and it makes people go, wow. And I still run into people who are like, they've never seen that happen before. But it's a deck that I got from Crip when he was streaming, so I can't take any credit for myself.
Voltron is probably the best one of the best animations in the game, too. Just the sound and the animation. That was such a good card that never saw play until now. So,
yeah. You gotta love that. Wild just gives you so much opportunity to play decks that that are off the beaten path a bit. Like earlier this month, I was testing out Even Mage, and Even Mage was really good because like you run it like a mech mage, but because all the good mechs are even cost mechs, and then you get to play Fallen Hero, the one that makes your hero power deal one more damage, and Garrison Commander. So now your hero power is cost one. Deals two damage, you can use it twice a turn, and then you can use like Fireball and then Frostbolt too. So that deck was really cool, and I got to play that for a little bit. Obviously, when you're testing around for these decks, it's hard to come up with something that's just meta breaking, but that can hold its own against everything.
Yeah, what I've been playing, the only deck that I've found that I actually like kind of enjoy, and this is going back to Standard because I haven't been playing Wild, is just Big Mage. And if you look at the tier list, like it doesn't even show up on either of them. I think it shows up on Tempo Storm at like tier 3. They call it Control Mage over there.
Mm-hmm.
But
they snuck it in.
Yeah. but it's like the reason why I like that deck is because I played it before, because I played it like before Witchwood even came out. And so it's a deck that I kind of understand better than what's already out there. And it's a deck that feels like I actually do get some control of what happens in the game, because basically I'm making the decisions based on what's happening or knowing what's coming up. So I know, you know, when to play that Doomsayer or when to save, you know, those board clears for. And I feel like I have a little bit more control over the game. And that's so it's the only deck that I found that kind of still gives me that feeling that, you know, is a play style that I like. So, so if you're in the same situation as me on Standard, you might go check out Ray's Bitcoin Mage that we've keep talking about.
I like how we've coined that phrase.
Bitcoin Mage. I like it.
I like it too. That's why we coined it that. But anyway, emails this week. We had a couple, so let's dive into that real quick. The first email that we had was from Jim. He says, "Hi, I love your show. I've been trying to break from rank 5 to legend for several months now, and I'm wondering if you think I should switch from iPad to PC. Are there any side apps or deck trackers you recommend? How much do you think that would benefit me?" I thought this was an interesting question, and I'm curious to how either of you would answer that.
I would say if you're trying to do the grind to legend and you want to get there as quickly as possible, having every bit of an edge as possible is going to help you out. Having information about not only what's left in your deck, if you don't have the best memory in the world, is going to be helpful. Also without having to write down stuff all the time. Not only that, but there are some add-ons which give you overlays which kind of provide information about the opponent, like the cards in your opponent's hand. Which cards has he been holding on to since the beginning of the game? What cards did he top deck? What cards are randomly generated cards? There's an app that, like, if your opponent plays a secret, as you play different conditions that could trigger secrets and it doesn't trigger the secret, then these apps will tell you, okay, well, you know that this secret can only be this, this, or this. So long story short, if you're going to go from 5 to Legend, I would recommend going from iPad to PC. I would recommend getting these apps. Hearthstone Deck Tracker's one I've heard used often. Overwolf is one that I think is still around.
I would go with Hearthstone Deck Tracker.
You might as well have every edge you can get.
Hearthstone Deck Tracker, I swear by that one. Overwolf, I think, is more for Arena. I used that when I was really going deep into Arena at the start of my...
thinking Overwolf for Arena, but even for Arena, it's applicable.
Sure.
If you're going to do serious Arena playing, you're better off playing on a PC than you are on an iPad for that reason.
Yeah. The big thing with me when I play with a deck tracker is I can normally go through and keep track of what my opponent has and all that stuff. But as soon as I start playing a bunch of games back to back, I'll go and I'll be like, all right, has he played what? He's played one swipe. I don't know if he's played the second one, because a lot of the games start to bleed together at certain points. So it'll be like, it's kind of like a reminder for you. And like I said, I use Hearthstone Deck Tracker. It just keeps everything together. It's one relatively easy application. And as long as you're not training to go and like play in DreamHack Austin or some tournament where you're offline and you can't use it, you might as well just use it, right? There's no downside to having all this information in front of you.
So I'm going to go a different direction than you guys. While I agree that Hearthstone Deck Tracker is a great PC add-on, I don't think you necessarily, I don't use deck trackers at all. And, I never really have. I've tried them, and at the same time, I just don't use them. I think it's more important to go back and look at your replays. And there's some ways that you can do that on your iPad. I don't know what the apps are, but I have seen people record their replays on their mobile device. I do believe there's some things where you can send those replays into applications as well. I'd have to do some research to see what those are, but you might check that out. I really think replays are the most important thing that you can do, because that's how you can determine where you went wrong. What decision did you make that you could have won that game if you had chosen something differently early on? And then learning why that happened, and then learning to not make that same mistake again later is where I think you'll get the biggest benefit. If you find that a deck tracker helps you get there, then by all means, go do that. Go play on the PC and try that out and see what happens. But if you are just love playing on your iPad, I think that there are some things out there that you can do to still become better. I don't think a deck tracker is going to automatically get you from rank 5 to legend. I do think there's some research that you as a player is going to have to do to get there. The next email we had, did you guys have anything else to add to that? Or
no, pretty much that.
Cool. So the next email that we had was from Sharak, and he goes, "Yo, I started playing Hearthstone just before the beta ended and play casually mainly. I always wanted to hit Legend for the card back, but never had until last month in April." He sent this a while back, so it was still May. "I had been playing Wild for a few months and was normally finishing around rank 3 and 4. The end of the March season, I finished at rank 2, so started at rank 6. I then played from day 1 and hit Legend rank on day 3 of the new season, and I didn't have to grind to do it. I did it exclusively with Big Priest. I entered Legend at position 21 and went up and down from 100 to 10 throughout the season. By the end of the season, not only did I hit Legend for the first time, I finished on the EU April leaderboard at position 94.
Hey, congrats.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
So from trying month in, month out to hit Legend, when I finally did it, seemed a little too easy. Based on this, I have 3 questions. Is it a lot easier to hit Legend on Wild than Standard? Is it a lot easier to hit Legend in the first week of a new season due to a smaller pool of players? And do you have any indication as to how many people play Wild to Standard, as I dropped into Wild Legend at 21 on day 3, and a friend dropped into Standard Legend on day 4 at over 1,000? Thanks, love the podcast, Shrek." So, the first question, is it a lot easier to hit Legend on Wild than on Standard? I would say yes, but...
Yes, I definitely think it is, but for different reasons than you would expect. A lot of the time in Standard, I would say it's pretty comparable just to go and play, because you have to play the same amount of games, right? You just have to, let's say you restarted the season at rank 5 for both places, you have to win 25 games to get there. So a lot of the time in Standard, especially at that place, if you just chug away at a deck, and like, let's say you have a deck that has a 60% win rate, you just consistently play that with the 60% win rate, you'll make it to Legend. The issue with Wild is sometimes you're more likely to hit pocket metas in Wild, because there's no... net decking is very different in Wild. There aren't really many net decks, and a lot of the times you just need to start knowing what to play around. So there's that little aspect to that as well. So I think actually getting to Legend is probably around the same, maybe a little bit easier in Standard, but the main difference is in Wild, it's much easier to get a high Legend finish. Like you said, you got a top Legend finish, top 100 in your first time to Legend, which is great, but I mean, I doubt that would happen in Standard. It's very, very unlikely. Because everyone who's competing for Standard, Legend, like they're trying to go for the top ranks, it's their job to do that. They get paid to do it. So they devote 40 hours every week or more specifically to it. Whereas Wild is more or less, you know, like rank 5 is dad Legend. Well, like Wild is the dad high Legend for everyone. the big thing about hitting Legend in the first week, especially in Wild, is that the first week doesn't really matter as much to like the end of the month. So everyone who is just playing like all the tryhard decks, everyone's like trying to push for that finish, trying to get top 100 or whatever, they now can meme out. So like that's what I did earlier this month. I just had the first 3 days and I started playing some ridiculous Reno Mage decks. I actually played some Reno Shaman, which was doing a lot of fun, but I wasn't trying to grind away and hit Legend right away, because I have an entire month to go and get there and then try to get my rank going. So that might be why you felt it seemed easy at the start of the month.
Yeah, but I would also agree with him, like wondering if it's because of a smaller pool of players, and I would say that's probably a lot of it as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a component. I think that the last time Blizzard told us, it was 10 to 1. So there's 10 Standard players for every 1 Wild player. That would make sense. With like on NA, I know that we had, let's just say, 1,000 Legend players, and maybe stretching that, for because there was 9. I knew there was at least 900, but let's just say 1,000. And in Standard, there was, what, like 15,000?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So that seems what it is. And EU's typically double in Wild. So there's typically around 2,000 Legend players, maybe a couple, maybe a little bit less, 1,500, somewhere around that range. So I would say 10 to 1, maybe even has gotten a little bit bigger, but 10 to 1 was what Blizzard officially told us a while back.
Yeah, the only thing I could add to this, because obviously this is uncharted domain for myself personally, but I feel that if Wild and Standard were treated equally in terms of what they mean for, like, say, HCT, in terms of prize money available, tournament bias and all that stuff, if both formats were supported equally, it would be a far different deal. But because Wild pretty much only gets 1 month out of the year to shine in the spotlight and is otherwise pretty much irrelevant for the highly competitive scene, that's why you just don't have as many people flocking to it.
See, I agree with what you're saying a little bit, but I don't think you're going to see that big of a shift either. And maybe it's because, and maybe, now that I think about it, maybe it would be. Because I'm trying to think of, like, Magic the Gathering, because if you go and look at, like, the Legacy, you know, play in there, they have mm-hmm. tournaments that, you know, do pay out well. And that are actually kind of often happening. And still, the, you know, majority of people play the new rotations and the new standard or whatever it's called over there now. So it's a much huger pool. But that also might be because if you want to play those legend style decks, you're going to put down a lot of money to play those. So right. Because those are cards that came out 20, 25 years ago, and are, you know, each one of those cards might be worth $1,000 a piece or something like that. So I guess
that's why we're lucky. That's why we're lucky. Every legendary is only 1600 dust. You don't have that inflation. So that's what Wild is actually a very accessible format when you go in and just, because card per card, you can just dust a deck and create it in Wild. And as time goes along, a deck gets two or three cards each expansion rather than the standard format where you have to rebuild a deck every single rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I was just thinking, I guess, you know, Wild would be a lot more accessible that way. And so maybe you would see a lot more support if Blizzard did support it equally on the esports scene.
And that's why I'm pushing with the one trick ladder finish with our ladder tournament that's going on, where I think we officially now have $1,000 prize pool for the months of May and June. So that just wrapped up the first month. So we're going on and essentially doing HTC style points. And then for May and June, and when you add them together, we're taking the top 32 people and putting them into a tournament for that prize. So we're really excited. It's everyone's in the Wild scene, at least, is picked up on it. And a lot of people are tryharding a little bit more than normal. So it's making the environment a little bit more fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think it's time to get out of here, guys. Starting off, we have over at Patreon, we want to thanks to our well-met legends, Otaku MZ and Shaf. If you want to be a well-met legend or if you want to participate on our Patreon, just go over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. I just sent out all of the coaching for this month for people that are getting coaching from Ray. If you want to do that, that's $30 a month. Anything above that will also get you in as well, guaranteed. And then every month, a raffle that we hold for everybody that's a patron gets an hour of coaching. And this month's winner goes by the name of Eric. And so he was a $1 patron who is going to get that $30 value. So if you want to head over there and help support us, that would help a lot. There's some things I want to change. And Danny, we're going to talk about this after the show or later on this week at some point. I want to change up that Patreon a little bit and see if we can start doing like something like a well-met tournament like every couple months where patrons get exclusive access to it to start with, and maybe do an a patron exclusive like show or something where they email us and we can break down like some decks for them and things like that. So
yeah, sounds really sweet.
Yeah, I want to do something that's a lot more engagement than we've been doing. So we're gonna be talking about that more. So if you want to head over and support that, or if you have any ideas, feel free to email me or anything like that. For iTunes reviews, if you'd like to give us a 5-star review, head over to iTunes. Just do a search for Hearthstone in the podcast section, and you'll find Walmart there and leave a 5-star review, and we'll give you a shout out on next week's show. All right, shout outs and how people can get a hold of you. Ro, how about you, man?
Well, first off, again, thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure. If folks want to follow me on the internet, they can follow me on Twitter at RoWow. That's RHOWOW. And be sure to check out my Hearthstone podcast, Hearth Casual, with myself and Kevin Ellis. That appears online every other week, generally late Thursday night, early Friday morning. You can catch it.
Yeah. And I definitely recommend checking that out. And also, Ro, thanks so much for coming on and filling in for Ray this week.
Absolutely.
Danny, how about you? Shout outs, and where can people find you?
So you can find me at DannyDonuts_HS on Twitter and on Twitch, DannyDonuts45. This week for my shout outs, I want to give a shout out to Craig and Nate for Into the Wild. I was on their podcast and I really enjoyed being able to talk about Wild with some Wild guys. So that was a fun time. So shout out to those guys. And also to you, Ro. Thanks for coming on.
It's a pleasure. I had a lot of fun being here. And if Ray ever ends up needing someone to fill in for again, feel free to look me up.
We definitely will. As for me, you can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. That's pretty much all I do these days, just Twitter. But for shout outs this week, I want to give a shout out to Ray. He's had a rough week. He had surgery early on in the week. That was a planned thing, and then he got really, really sick afterwards and missed DreamHack. And you know what, I want to, like, as much crap as I give Ray every week when he's on the show, I love the guy and he's awesome, and I wanted to see him get better and come back on here next week and start participating in those Hearthstone tournaments again and see if he can get that big win.
So. Don't worry. He'll high roll out of this illness. He'll be all good.
Yeah. Yeah, he said that illness was basically Hearthstone in real life. It was just a bunch of RNG for him. So, but thanks for joining us for episode 156 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@BlizzPro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks again to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.